time. So I understand that Rabbi Marburg graciously gave me the opportunity to speak about the topic he doesn't want to speak about. So therefore he gave me much the whole gamut. Okay. That he was a kiddushin. So today's topic is concerning gnevi, gzeile, anything which has to do with Akum is going. So let us first set the parameters of what we are talking about. We are talking about gneve, about gzeile, about afkos halvo, mate and toes. Those are the subjects to be addressed in 45 minutes. No problem. Let us define first what is gzeile, what is gneve. So you learned it, I understand, from Rav Marburger, you learned it in length about the past few weeks. Gzeile is robbery. In other words, the gazlan comes openly and robs the victim. That's what it is. That's maisa gzeile. Then you have maisa gneve. Gneve is pickpocketing. This is stealing from somebody when the victim is not aware at the time that the crime is taking place. That's gneve. Then we have something else, and this is hafkos halvo. What is hafkos halvo? Halvo is a loan. Now, the difference between gneve gzeile and the loan is that gneve gzeile, at the time when money is transferred, or whatever is transferred, the object, whatever, right? We call it the isur oseh liyodeh. It came into his hands in a fashion that is prohibited by Torah. You are not permitted neither to be a gazlan nor to be a ganav, but you are permitted to take a loan. So as such, it's beter oseh liyodeh. It came to him in a permissible way. The question is only that of an obligation to pay back. Okay, so now here we are talking about hafkos halvo, meaning that although the money came to him with the understanding to be paid back, now it does not pay back. When we're talking about a goy, if there's an issa or not. That's number three. Number four is something else. We're talking about commerce, so regular commerce. And in this commerce, the question will be, if in terms of payment, we're talking about payment, if the goy made a mistake, the mistake could be in two ways. It could be that information given to him about the payment by the whoever it is, you know, whatever side it is, meaning the seller, gives him incorrect information. So therefore, the purchaser is paying more than he was supposed to. Fine. Here we are touching here the nekuda afaynor, which means that we are talking about the person overpricing it. But here we are not talking about the classic case of overpricing, but we're talking about the case when the price was clear. Nevertheless, there was here, when it comes to the mode of payment, that the goy now is paying more than he was supposed to. Why? Because in some kind of way of informing him, he makes a mistake, and therefore he's now paying more, based on the false information. Then you have tolsakum. Tolsakum is when you're talking about the guy making a mistake on his own. In other words, nobody fooled him, nobody told him to do this mistake, he did a mistake on his own, but tolsakum. So this is finally the last case of what we are discussing here. Okay. So now, the first thing I would like to discuss with you, obviously, is gneve and gzeile. It seems to be that nobody in his right mind would do it. For a simple reason. The simple reason is, why should you do it? Why should you do it? I mean, this is not normal behavior. So therefore, what we're talking about certainly is, if whatever we're talking about here is, certainly only in the halakhic parameters, if a person transgressed a particular issue or not. But if this is a way of behavior, no question about it. It's not a way of behavior. People don't behave like this. So, in fact, as you know, probably you were told about it, that fooling a goy in any vain fashion is, as Rav Shanoch mentions it, a terrible thing. And therefore, nobody would do that. Okay. But let me introduce to you something which is still very interesting. Namely, you learned Gneva and Gzele, didn't you? Yes, certainly we did. So you know there's a principle in Hichas Gneva and Gzele that you need to do a Maisik Gneva, you need to do a Maisik Gzele. You need to do an act of Gneva, an act of Gzele. If there is no act of Gneva and act of Gzele, and arguably, and most Paskin would hold like this, it has to be done in a fashion where Mitzad Adin, there was a Maisik Kinyan. And if the, with other words, if this would have been under permissible circumstances, so then the acquisition of the object would have been done in a legal fashion. Here you're doing it in an illegal fashion. But nevertheless, you're doing here a mikkakinyan. You're doing the act of acquisition as it needs to be done when you take possession of an object. What? I don't know. This is, doesn't matter now. Doesn't matter now. This is not my issue now. This is not my issue. Very good point, but not my issue. So, you learned about it, right? Whatever Kinyon you're talking about. Nevertheless, I'm going to tell you something very interesting. And this is, the question will be, if the same principle applies to a Goy Israel, do we say that the Gedorim, the exact definition of Geneva Gedorim, if you're talking about a Yid, from a Yid to a Yid, applies also from Yid to a Goy, or between a Goy and a Goy? So there's something very interesting. And the question would be, if what I'm telling you here is halacha lemaisa or not, and it makes a major difference halacha lemaisa. There's a famous gemara. The gemara says in Sanhedrin that the goy who learns Torah is chayv misa. What is the issue that he's doing? What is he transgressing here? So the gemara says, because it says Torah tzivul on Moshe merosh kilas Yaakov, so therefore it's a rusha for klal Yisrael. Goyim have no shayfus to that. So therefore, if a goy learns Torah, it's chayv misa. What's the issue? So the Isra, Rashi says, and also says Rabbi Magid, the Isra that his over is Gzele. Gzele. So here's a very simple question. If the Goy is learning Torah, what act of Gzele did you do? He didn't take anything away from him. And if you say that Gnevi Gzele requires to have a Maisi Gnevi, a Maisi Gzele, it doesn't happen here in this case. For me, the two Gzele Oilom will bring a raya that there is, it's possible that when you're talking about Gnevi Gzele, it does not have to be necessarily with a Maisik Gnevi, Maisik Gzele. The Machlechaim, Rashai, the two Gdol Oilom, who said that. They said from this Gemara Yevaraya, and there was another one, Amud Eish from the Ritu Shikdon, who said the same. They said from here you have a Raya that you don't need necessarily to have a Maisik Gnevi, Maisik Gzele, even if I don't take anything away from you. Then, nevertheless, there's a Maisik Gnevi, Maisik Gzele. Lemay Nafkim, what they are talking about? Well, they're talking about intellectual property. If you are, so to say, copying somebody else's intellectual property, you did not do a Maisik Gnevi, Maisik Gzele. You might eventually cause him harm, cause him loss. Why? Because the value of his invention now decreased. But nevertheless, there was no Maisik Gnevi, there was no Maisik Gzele. So therefore, that's the right they bring you. However, and the argument here is that there's no real riot from there. Why is there no real riot? Because over there we're talking about a Goy who is learning Torah. And the Goy, here is committing a Maisik Gnevi, a Maisik Gzele, whatever it should be. Now, we're talking about a Goy, we're not talking about a Yid. It might very well be that the Goy, that the definition of Gnevi Gzele as far as Goy versus a Yid is concerned, are different, maybe also between them, is concerned, is not similar to what we find by Klal Yisrael, because the Klal Yisrael, the Maisik Gnevi, Maisik Gzele needs to be a real Maisik Gnevi, a real Maisik Gzele. Whereas here, it's not a real Maisik Gnevi, it's not a real Maisik Gzele. And consequently, by a Goy is different. Why would we say so? Why would a Goy be different than a Yid in that sense? There might be many reasons, but I will tell you one very simple reason, and this is, not only could we say that the Chidushim of Kinyon were not said by Goy. Kinyon itself is a Chidush. By going, you don't have kinyonim. Probably Rabbi Marburg introduced you to this principle. By going, there's no kinyonim. Right? If you sell something, you don't sell it with a kinyon. I mean, between going, you don't do that. You write a contract and that's it. But there's no maisa kinyon. The whole principle of maisa kinyon is foreign to them. So therefore, what we would say is as follows. If this is the case, in the sugi, in Kufiyut Gimel, as you know, that you learned, I guess, in Bava Kamma, in the sugi, you see clearly that when it comes to the Neyim, then we have done them kedinayim. Certainly when there is an issue between Klal Yisrael, between Israel and between a goy, so then he will always have, he will be on the losing end. But nevertheless, by going, it's kedinayim. The mitzvah on dinim. Goyim are mitzvah on dinim. Rashi and Gittin, Rashi and Gittin said that din machut dinim, for example, comes from dinim. One of the seven mitzvahs is dinim. So what are dinim? Dinim are exactly the structure as Goyim establish it. But Goyim, since they don't have my fikin on him, so therefore it might be very well be that when it comes to copyright and the like, when it comes to a Maisik Nevi Beis Din, we're not mechatza somebody, they might be more stringent than we are. Because we need to have a Maisik Nevi, Maisik Zeli. They don't need a Maisik Nevi, Maisik Zeli. What they need is what people would relate to as a Gnevi. What? If I invented something and you copy it so true, you didn't take anything away from me, you didn't take an object and disown me from this object, but nevertheless, in common sense, we call it my signature because you took away the idea from me. And now you utilize something which you didn't have any right to do so. So therefore, here we come to something interesting. If this is the case, what will be if we have here a yid doing this to a goy? If between goyim we are saying that this is the case, and you see that the apostle must say that even a yid between yidin we say that. So now how would this be if you're talking about a yid and a goy? An argument would certainly be and say, being that obviously goy is in the losing end, so therefore being that by yidin this is not opinion, so therefore the goy would lose out. But oyoyma, it's also simple. It might be that very well we would apply in this case that there is a concept that we apply also of dinner machus dinner to that end. It's a chiddush. What I'm telling you is a tremendous chiddush. You would say that to this end, dinner machus dinner would apply even in this case. But I'm not saying that this is halacha lemaisa, not at all. I'm just telling you, this is the uniqueness that we have here. The uniqueness is here that you see that between goyim, the maisa kinyan does not take effect. And in fact, we do see that the Gemorot apply this principle, certainly the Gabi Agoy. The question is if you could apply it to a yid as well. And therefore, the Samposki will say, yes, you apply it to a yid between yidin, right? You apply it. If you apply it between yidin, certainly between a yid and a goy, you apply it. So therefore, according to this, all situations of copyright and so on and so forth between yid and a goy would be in within the parameters of Gnev and Zele. And according to Machna Chaim, certainly this is the case, no question, right? Because he applied it between a yid and a yid also, so therefore also he applied between a goy. Given that we say that the naming zilibe a goy from yid to a goy is also. Now here we are coming to the issue, to the core of the issue. Is the naming zilibe to a goy also or mutter? The answer is nobody would say it's mutter. Mutter certainly not, there's no question about it. For one simple reason, because there is one issa which is across the board. It's called Chil Hashem. It's called Chil Hashem. And therefore, since when it comes to this kind of an issue, and Chaval say Chil Hashem is very particular in this, in context of this subject, so therefore, it's certainly not permitted. There's no question about it. The question is only, is the person over an issa gneve of this or other sort? Is a gneve of this or other sort? Now here, we have a machlek saposki. And there are three shittas here. One shita holds that it's also in the Torah, that's how the Shach passes. And it seems to me that this is the opinion of the Rambam, and the passage in the Sugin, the Morim, but the Kamek of Yugim, seems to hold like this. Others say, no, it's only Asmachti, the whole story, the whole Gemara over there is only Asmachti. If it is an Issa, it's only an Issa mit Rabbonon. And that Issa mit Rabbonon, now we have a Machlok, it's what's the Issa mit Rabbonon. And Rashi Sanhedrin seems to be, not seems to be, Rashi says, the Issa Mishum Chil Hashem. Mishum Chil Hashem. Now, this, and others say, and so it seems to be from the Bishmuel that it's an Issa Rabbonon, or maybe it's not even a Rabbonon even. And even if it's an Issa Rabbonon, it might be there's no Chiva Shova. There's no obligation of returning. So you have here, Bekitzer, to have it said very fast, you have three sheets. Issa Doraise, Issa Rabbonon, and Rashi says Issa Rabbonon is Chil Hashem. Others say it's not Chil Hashem, it's an Issa Rabbonon in by definition. And then we have and then Mitzadik Radim might be smooth altogether. Which seems to be the opinion of the Beis Shmuel, and so here we have to switch it. Okay.
Now, the first
sheet
is what?
The Gnev Gzeva is the Raisa. And that's the Shach Pasuk. Excuse me?
And you would need Hashava,
that
first.
Oh, I didn't speak of Hashava yet. All right, very good. Now, it seems. Excuse me?
Gnev
Das. I didn't speak of Gnev Das yet. Gnev Das is also in Bergoy. It says Rashi Chanoch, Gnev Das is also.
But
what do you say?
In Gnev Gnevus, in Gnev Das.
Well, I could certainly approach it. Let me put it this way. The Issa of Gneva Das is not included in the Issa of Gneva. Gneva Das has its own Issa. Question from where it comes from, but the Maise is a separate Issa. It is true in the Rav Shlomo Pasuk that this is all kinds of Gneva Das, the Goy also. In fact, the Sefti said the Gneva Das of a Goy is more Chomu than Gneva itself, right? But we are talking about Gneva, the classic situation of Gneva, which means Mamish is only a Goy from an object. That's what we're talking about, okay? Now, but you know, I will tell you, I will come back later on. We're talking about Mekartos. We're talking about, very soon. We're going to talk about Mekartos. Then I will mention Gneva Das as well. So here we have the questions of Hashavah. I didn't approach Hashavah yet. But what I want to talk about now, since my time is a little bit limited, I want just to mention to you, in your opinion, that's yours. I'm sorry, I see the expression of people's faces right now clearly, you know. It's very limited. No, you're not an expert. You are not an expert, believe me. I'm seasoned. Okay, having said so. So here, there's one detail which I need here, or one explanation which I need to explain here. You see, Rashi said it's also midrabono, why? Because of Chil Hashem. There are two questions here. The first question is, Chil Hashem is not a drabono, it's a drabono. Secondly, what does it mean? It's also midrabono because of Chil Hashem. It's a little midrabono, get it? What does that mean? Okay, so I will explain to you what it means. What my opinion is, okay. When I say my opinion is not Chas V'Shalom, I try to be assuming, but I didn't find anybody explaining it this way, but I think it's so partial that nobody needs to explain it. Okay, so the answer is as follows. The answer is that Rashi learns Mitzadik Yad Nitz Mutter, right? Because only Midrabono. The question is, why did Midrabono ask it? So we are saying here, they ask it because of Chil Hashem. Leman of Kimine. If it's anyway also because of Chil Hashem, it's Leman of Kimine. If it's also because of Chil Hashem, or otherwise, the end of it is as follows. I mentioned earlier there's a principle which is called Betere Osaliode or Bisur Osaliode. We mentioned it in context of giving a loan. If I lend a person money, it's Betere Osaliode. It came to his hands in a permissible way. No question about it. If I steal, then it's an act of a prohibited act. That's slavery. But lending money is mutter. It's Betere Osaliode. Okay. So being it's Betere Osaliode, if you are saying that Gneva's Akum, Gzeres Akum is mutter, so then it's Betere Osaliyodi, it was permitted to do that. The act is mutter. As such, it is mutter. If you are saying it's also Mishum Chil Hashem, okay, the Chil Hashem has nothing to do with the act as per se. The act is an act which is mutter. The general halacha that tells you you are not permitted to Mechalet Hashem, that the act of Gneva is not an act of Gneva. You cannot call it and be Shuri Osaliyodi. That you cannot say. That's ABC of Lamdus. So, mainly, what you have to say, it's a Betere Osaliyode, but nevertheless, you are not permitted to do so. We are telling you, no, it's also Midrabonon. Because Chazal said, because of Chil Hashem, we are going to tell you it's the Yisure Osaliyode. Lemel of Kimine, right? Lemel of Kimine. The Kimine might very well be because of Ashova. If there's obligation to return it, if you are telling me it's Betere Osaliyode, so then there will be no obligation to return it. Although there's a chash of Chil Hashem, or because of Chil Hashem you have to give it back, but if there's no chash of Chil Hashem, as far as the act as such is concerned, you did not commit a Maisik Nevi, Maisik Zeli. Therefore, we would say you have no obligation to return it. But if you're saying it will be Yisurah Osaliyode, then it might well be that we will impose on you the obligation to return it. Now, is it an obligation to return it or not? The Machlokes is a Poskim. We see it in others, right? We see it in the Chiv Midrabonon. The question is also that the Issa itself is a Doraisa, but doesn't matter. Once we are saying that there is an Issa here, so then those opinion who hold there's a Chiv Hashava on Gnevi and Gzelia for Goy, so then the obligation to do so is because of Bisur Oseliyode, and that's what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying Bisur Oseliyode, why? Because it's the Chil Hashem. Chil Maisik Neve. Because of Chil Hashem, therefore Chazal define it to be an Issur Osaliyode. If not, for this, Chil Hashem itself would not turn it into an Issur Osaliyode. Nafki Mineh, big Nafki Mineh Maisik, is there an obligation to return it or not? Yes, Chil Hashem. What?
Why should we be an Abedev who make Kiddush Hashem and we have to give back? So I'll to make a Kiddush Hashem, it shouldn't be different than an Abedev.
We're talking about Chil Hashem.
Okay, but
you know, Halevai, we should not be Mechal Hashem. You are very, very holy, my dear friend.
Yeah, I sit on the face. So therefore, because you've done the kafus, everybody else, so then it must be that you're very holy. So having said so, I'm not talking about Kiddush Hashem, I'm talking first about Chil Hashem. So we're saying Chil Hashem as such does not turn it into a source of the
earth. But for this sake, it would be a good sushel, and it's like being an Veda, then it would make a Kiddush.
Absolutely. I do agree with you. Look, let's put it very simple. As I said, Mamish, like I said in the first words of our shiur here, it shouldn't cross anybody's mind simply because it's not a behavior. You don't behave like this. Normal human beings don't behave like this. And Klal Yisrael is obligated to live up to certain standards, and standards which are higher than a regular person. Ayala Ladas, therefore you are permitted to be going to be gotten other rabbi, you have to live up to a higher standard. But it's Kishim Pshat. So the tells you, if we're talking about the halachic parameters, we're talking inside Halacha, is that prim? I'm always saying, probably you heard it also from others, I'm sure like this. People should never forget that Choshev Mishpat is not a moral code. It's a legal code. It's not a moral code. It's not a moral code. M-O-R-A-L. Not moral. It's a legal code. And therefore, it doesn't tell you, in other words, this is the bottom line. If you transgress this, you are in conflict with law. Does it mean that before that you behaved correctly? By all means, it might be relevant that you didn't, right? It has nothing to do with that. But here, so the normal is that. But that's what I'm saying here. The Chiv HaShoveh, for example, and Leman of Kimina, I will tell Leman of Kimina. Meaning Chiv HaShoveh. You have situations today, when giving back is not making Kiddush Hashem. Like you mentioned here. It's not making Kiddush Hashem. Nobody is going to know if you give it back. You didn't give it back. So here comes the question. What happens in the case? And that happens sometimes. A person goes into a store. There are some people who love shoplifting for some reason. Don't know. It's an addiction. But we are talking about somebody who is not shoplifting. For example, what would happen if the store itself stuck the merchandise not correctly? In other words, you have over there merchandise which is more expensive, other one which is less expensive, and they stuck the more expensive one on those shelves where the less expensive are put on. Now, the fellow who took the merchandise did not notice that he took not only the cheaper one, he also took the more expensive one, put into his carriage, and goes to the counter. Now, the lady on the counter also doesn't pay attention. She just does whatever it should be. Maybe it was even labeled wrongly, whatever it should be, but my teacher, I have a child already. So now, it comes home, and he notices that here he has merchandise which is not the merchandise that he bought, because he bought a cheaper one and he has more expensive one. That's even an obligation now to give it back. Now, if there's a Chiv HaShoveh, he has to give it back. Now, if it's an issue of Kiddush Hashem, large stores, they don't even want to have some, maybe. Right? Maybe. Yeah. Maybe they don't want even to have some. Fine. Kiddush Hashem, I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe not. Right? Many people will say not even, because they don't even notice. I know, particularly if you send it back maybe by mail or whatever it should be, and do you have an obligation not to go back, drive back and have this whole hassle in order to make the Kiddush Hashem? No, obligation you don't have to, right? But if it's a Chiv HaShoveh, it's a different story. If you're talking about Chiv HaShoveh, then you will be obligated to have a link to return it. Right? Unless you come with an argument, and I cannot give a comment on that because I'm not in business, right? Mainly, I'm not in business. So, many says it's not true. Okay, so. I can follow myself. Unless you're going to tell me that the store itself is not interested to take it back because the hassle going through in the store itself to put it back in the right place will be more expensive for them. Than otherwise, that you should keep it. I heard this argument from some people who understand business. Since I don't understand business, and it doesn't make sense to me, so therefore, I don't know what to tell you. But if this is true, okay, let it be so. If it's not true, so then, there's a Chiv HaShoveh. That's exactly what you're talking about. Yes. No, very, very good point. No, here, 1 second. So he's asking as follows, and I will continue what he's asking. There was no Maisig Neighbor. Well, there was a Maisig Neighbor, but it was Bishaydik. Right? That's what he's saying.
The guy made
something that eventually turned that I, Gutos, took it. But I noticed at the end of the day. It's not when I came home, I didn't know. 1 second. If I would never found out that there was something wrong, right? So it means that it was not possible to be done. By definition, if I found out later on, it means that yes, they gave me the toast, that he put it somewhere, but the mitzvah, when I took it, I made a mitzvah gneiva, b'shoyeg. It was not that I was mati the goy. I took an object, and that object I did a mitzvah gneiva with. That's how I understand it. Now, would anybody agree with me? I will tell you the apostolic man, but Kurdish others who would say otherwise. And they would say, which is a very good point, maybe we don't say gneiva b'shoyeg, that there is a gneiva b'shoyeg b'goy, but tzachid is also. It's not so simple. What I'm telling you is not aloch alamaise before y'all. Although Rabbi Marburger told me I should speak aloch alamaise, chas v'sholem, I never do that. Not particularly when you're talking about this. So therefore, I don't know what to tell you. Now, the argument against it would be that it's not a real gneiva b'shoyeg. I think it is gneiva b'shoyeg.
But I
don't hear you.
Only because of Chil Hashem. So here,
that's what I'm explaining to you. If the issue would be Chil Hashem only, you're right. But if you are saying that we're not talking about Chil Hashem, we're talking about Gneve, Maise Gneve, Chazal said, because of Chil Hashem, Maise Gneve is also.
Okay.
First of all, according to Rambam, it's a Doraisa. Right? Even though no one knows that.
No.
By definition, you don't know about it. Gneve by definition, you don't know about it. That's the difference between Gneve and Gneve. But I don't know. Look. I don't know what to tell you. You should ask your local rabbinic authority how to behave. And if you don't know the law, much better. So, but, yes. Thank you for the appointment. I didn't accept it. Yeah. Okay. So let me go to the next case. Okay. Let me go to the next case. The next case goes as follows. So we're talking about Nevek Zele and we're talking about Chiva Shova and the application of the Maitre. Let me talk about something else. And this is a situation of Hafkos Alvo. The case that I'm going to tell you is questionable if this is Hafkos Alvo or if it is Nevek Zele. What is the case? Happens all the time. What is the halacha of the maker toast with a goy? In other words, I sold the goy an object, not with the wrong price, but the object itself is defective. So I fooled him with here, not price, but by giving him the wrong object. Probably, you know it already, the difference between a no and between maker toast. That's precisely the difference. A no means that we give wrong pricing. Often halacha shechonor, simin shechzayin, often halacha. There's no Aino Begoy. No Aino Begoy. A lady. Not even the Rabbonim. There's no Issa at all. Gemarno. They have a Peshav Zayl, a Rambam, Kovino Aino Zidos, but before Yal, Mitzad Adin, it's Mutu. And I'm going to tell you in a moment why it's Mutu in the Gamre. However, when you're talking about tolls, that's a different story. In tolls, in a toll, in Mekach tolls, we have here a Machloek Zaposkin. The Machloek Zaposkin, which is quoted in the Masham, in the beginning of Simi Reish Lamed Beis, in the Mishpat Sholem, Machloek Tishvusyanki and others. I will not bore you with all the Maramekamis, but it's in the Reshon Mebeis of Gimel if you want to look it up in the Mishpat Sholem. Over there, it brings this major Machloekis. If the Mekach Tos by Goy, you sold a Goy, a defective item, if there is an Israel in that or not, and the question is why, what did it sold in me? What did it sold in me? Why should it be sold in me? Mele Nafkimin, Elaloch, Elamaisha. Okay, so now, first, why is there not Akumuta? Why are you permitted to sell a Goy with an inflated price? Which is way above market value. Why are you permitted to do so? The answer is simple. Because we are telling the buyer, why be aware? Capital. Right? It's the first principle in business. You don't, as long as you don't give him false information and he does not check out the value of the object, you're not at fault. This is true in courts and this is true also in halacha. Which means, as the Gemara calls it, derech mekach umemka. Mekach means that I sell something, I want to have the highest price rate. I want to pay as much as possible, right? The purchaser would like to pay as less as possible. Fine, so that's what it is. Mekach omemka. Derech mekach omemka. That's what it is. So therefore, I know if derech mekach omemka, and it's a chiddush of the Torah, that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. It's a chiddush of the Torah. That I know is also by Yid. Here the Torah privileged the relationship between Reuven and Shimon, that they are not permitted to sell, he is not permitted to sell him with an inflated price. Chiddush. Otherwise, Nishtovas Torah. If the goy relied on you, if it's clear the goy told you, Rabbid, is this really the value of the merchandise? Avnezer says clearly, no question about it, then you're not permitted to do so. Based on that principle I just told you, then you're not permitted to do so. Are you even isof enoas momoin? Maybe not. Maybe it's only enoas enoas vorin. But certainly, it's also. Why is it also? It might even be that it enters the realms of gnevi. Why? Because the transfer of the object here was shalakidim. Is it considered a betero saliyode? That's the big question. If the goy is given false information, and based on that he bought it, which is prohibited, and the Rav Shlomo says clearly you're not permitted to do so, thus there might be gnevi here. Oh, here we have the question, is this considered betero or besuro saliyode? What are you studying? One side would be to say, well, the guy didn't want to take it for this price. So therefore, it's a suvos saliyode. Or we're saying, no. A suvos saliyode means when there's a right of my signature. Here, if you fool him with information, the person on his own took it, that's called betero saliyode. And if you're going to see, you're going to see in a moment, the dufus sodim here, have a major enough criminal amite, not only in a no. Make a toss. I'm selling somebody a defective item. Now, first of all, we have to examine. Is it considered to be derech mekach or memkah? Do we apply the principle of caveat emptor, the buy be aware, on the maker toes as well? Or do we say that it's only true when you're talking about pricing? The truth of the matter is, if you're going to court, if it's a defective item, you are on the shorter end. If you fool them with a defective item, it's certainly not acceptable in court. So therefore, we could say, if we are saying that the logic of data no I know by goy is based on the principle, because caveat emptor, let the buy be aware, it's questionable if that principle of the buy be aware also applies by defective item. Again, if I gave him false information, I'm told him this is top quality, and this is what I supposed to also be, which is also ready also. And you should know, my dear friends, certainly today that there is a concept which is called quality control. And people, when they buy something, rely on quality control. In particular, when talking about appliances, certainly this is true. Then there's no question about it that it's not derech mekach or memkah. There's no derech mekach or memkah. You cannot say that. It's impossible to say such a thing. Nevertheless, the question would be, is it still called b'isur or feliyode? Why? Because if you are telling me that the definition of b'isur or feliyode means that a Maisig Nevi was done by the Yid. The Yid did Maisig Nevi. Here, there was no real Maisig Nevi. There was, the goy took the item, paid me willingly. I fooled him. What did I fool him? Because I told him, this is the item that you want. The Maisig wasn't the item that you wanted. Is that considered to be Bisur or Saliyode? Questionable. To study. Very much.
You've been accepted, but it's a full assurance. Why would that make
sense? My dear friend, I said in the beginning, anything I'm saying here, it's not is also. No. Chil, again, forget. Let's go back. Chil Hashem does not turn it into Bisur HaSaliyode. That's exactly what we have explained Rashi. When Rashi is saying that there's an Issa Rabbonon because of Chil Hashem, to explain because Chazal, because of the Chil Hashem, turned it to an Issa Rabbonon. We don't find the Mekach Tov specifically that Chazal prohibited it. Because a regular, a classic Maitig Nevi is if I pickpocket. I did a Maitig Nevi. Here the goy, on his own, willingly gave me money. And being that he gave me money, this could be considered as a Saliyode. Or Yoima, or you could say other side. Or you could say, based, being that he gave me the money under false pretense, because he understood he's giving me the money in exchange for item that is worth the money, not worth the money, that is functional and perfect, so to say, is not, or better, it's not imperfect, double negative. It's not imperfect, right? So therefore, that's the question. The question is just considered beter or bisur saliyode. Lema nafkimine. Nafkimine will be again coming back if there's a chiva shod. If you're telling me bisur saliyode by mekach tos, and the guy never found out. It's too late. Whatever there should be. So then, if it's Bisur, there's a Chiva Shova. You're obligated to give back your money. If it's Betzeri or Saliyode, then we are saying that Enochanam, you didn't do the right thing, no question. According to those Shittes of our world that make a toast by guys also, which are most Shittes, but there's no Chiva Shova. I want to tell you, even those who hold that there's no make a toast by goy, it's not so certain that they hold take it's like a mutamina terror. I'm not so sure about it. But nevertheless, the nafkimina that I want to bring you here in context of our discussion here is only as far as the Chivashov is concerned. Because the Ketchila, there's no question you cannot do it. The question is only if there's a Chivashov. So this will depend if you're saying this is considered to be Isur or Sebiyode or Beter or Sebiyode. Give you another case. There's another case. Mandy, did you ever lend money to people? I thought you're a smart guy. Okay. So why do I say that? I will tell you why I say that. Because what happens in the case if I lend money to a person and the person doesn't pay me back? Don't pay me back. You tell yourself, if I would have known that this fellow is not paying me back, I would never lend him the money. Right? No, question to you. Is that considered, no, you don't have to answer. It's a rhetoric question. Is that considered to be a betero saliyod or a bisuro saliyod? Meaning, certainly when I gave the money to him, it's betero saliyod. I give him the money, willingly, and accepted it in this way, no question about it. But now, that you don't pay me back in time, or whatever there should be, I have from with you. Do we say that retroactively, I would have never given you the money, and consequently, this also, you know, that, how do we look at it? So let's think for a moment. There's a tremendous chiddush by a goy, and it's based again on the sugint of Kufi Gimel over there in Bovekam. What happens in a case that you lend, that you borrowed money from a goy? Is an obligation to pay it back. So, what does that mean exactly? Would the guy lend me money if he knows that I'm not paying him back? So the answer is, well, we could talk about the case when at the time when you took the money, you intended to give it back. You intended to give it back. But then later on, for whatever reason, you decide, you know, Baba Kohn gave a nice shield, that's beautiful, really beautiful. Givaldi, givaldi. But it's good for the best marriage. For real life, it's something else, and therefore I'm not going to pay him back. End of the story. So therefore, the time that you took it, you did not intend to take it with not paying him back. So therefore, you really owed him the money. And being that you owed him the money, now you are mafkia the halvo. And here the chiddush comes, the learning from the Gemara, that haftorah halvo is mutar. Why? Because the Torah only prohibited when it became b'isurah saliyodi. If gneve, gzele, all those cases, when you did an act of insult, that's when the Torah prohibited. But it beteiro saliyodi. If the guy gave you the money willingly, and therefore the transfer here was beheteve, tetetere, no? No, there's no chiv to give back. But you see, it's not so simple. Why? There's a machloik in two members in the Mesivis in the following situation. Not so, in that halacha itself. What happens, when does the Haftorah Halvo start? Does the Haftorah Halvo principle start when I made up now in my mind I'm not paying him back, but before that I owed him the money? There was no Haftorah Halvo yet. Haftorah Halvo will only be at the moment when I decide not to pay back, but before that I owed him the money. Or do we say no? Once there was a transfer of money, being that the guy gave you the money willingly, so therefore, immediately we are saying that there is Haftorah Halvo even if I don't declare it. The receiver said you have to declare it. The Torah said you don't have to declare it. Now, if the Torah says, now, according to the Mitzvah that you are telling me that he has to be mafkiyahit, so then you could say clearly, then there's an argument to say that being that when he gave it to me, it was his understanding that you paid back. And I was obligated to give it back. And there's a shivu to give it back. There's a shivu to give it back. So therefore, now that I don't pay back, maybe it's retroactively not beteiro saliyode. And I'm going to tell you why in a moment. But if you are telling me that mamish right away when he gives me the money, there's already Haftorah Halvo. In other words, there is a possibility that I could tell the guy, give me money, with the intention even not to pay back. Because we are saying that at the moment that he gave me the money, then it's the table, so the other, and the intention shouldn't really matter. Now, you know, I will ask you a question. What happens in a situation between Reuven and Shimon, two Yidden? I lend money to Shimon, and Shimon is a Yad Bocher, you know. Maybe he did thing, maybe he didn't. At the end of the day, he doesn't pay me back. And he doesn't pay me back so that I understand that he is the kind of person who really never committed himself to pay back. And it's not because the certain circumstances that developed later on that make it not possible for him to pay back. But because at the outset, he couldn't care less. Says the Radbaz, and the Rabbini quotes him, that's the level of Sikhsai. A person who borrows money, and he's careless about it, or at least doesn't really have the full intention to pay it back, and consequently does not pay it back, is over the mafreya, the ether of the sikhs, which means it's a little yode.
The mafreya is
over
here. The mafreya is over here. Mafreis of
Gzeir. Right. Therefore, it means to also the other. Now, by Goy Lechoyer, it does not apply according to the Tumim. Why? Because the Tumim says here that if you borrow money from a Goy, immediately half course halvo kicks in. There's no real possibility to say that. There's no possibility to say that this should be considered to be Suros Eliode. And consequently, comes the Modern Mercy, that you're permitted to borrow money from a Goy with the intention not to pay back and have a good day. So the answer is as follows. A very good point. So this is exactly what we have to mention. This is what you're telling, what you're saying now here is in principle what the famous Beragoyle, right? You have the Shulchan Aruch here? Because I need to read it first. Because I have this. You have the Beragoyle here? Oh, I see.
I'm sorry.
You have to tell the rabbi to put here another step, because otherwise it could break your feet. Okay. Well, anybody else?
The back page.
What? The back page?
The back page.
Oh, this is the Moshe Lanchin. Where is it?
No, on the back. The back page.
Don't you have no more Shulchan Aruch? Oh, sorry, yeah. Okay, so very good point. So the point here is that this is basically what the Be'agolet tells us. Forget about the Musa Chaylik of it. The Be'agolet says here in Simi Shin and Chef, famous Be'agolet, ואני קוי זה פויס דוירות שריף רבין גוטל וישירו מן תול שיטו גוי now he's talking in about Mate Akum, which we didn't get yet there. Because Mate Akum Lechoyre, you see, of course, of all, Mate Akum in this case now are very much, very close to each other. Very close to each other. Because both work with the principle of the Teros Eliode. When he quotes the Doros, she reads the Rabbin Godlo and Shir Min Tor Shehitu Agoi, V'lo Yitzlichu, V'yordu Nirchem L'tinyon, V'lo Yiniru Achem Berochok, כמו שקוטו בספר חסידים סין מן תוף תוף רשיים. דלת, ורמה שקיצו השם ויזירו תאויו את הגויים בדובר חושב, גודל ושיר וצליחו וניחו יסחון לא אמרים. Okay, so certainly, he mentioned the kinds of kiddush שם מכילו שם וכו' וכו'. But, and I just told you now, it's not so simple. In fact, I want to tell you something else. I don't know the audience here, but in case that we have here some choshev yidin that adhere very much to Shittas Rambam, you know, they learned in Brisk, whatever version you learned, right? And over there, as you know very well, Rambam is on top of the line. Now, you should know that the fastest, the Rambam does not hold Afkos Alvo. That he holds Afkos Alvo is also. And nonetheless, in the Chutam Shulish, which is the Chaim Veloshana, he is the one to learn Chat in the Rambam like this. The Akash is on that, but the fastest, it's true, because we'll not find in the Rambam, the Rambam is Mati Afkos Alvo. So therefore, if you buy the Esrik, which is Nehuda, according to every sheet in terms of Esrik, but you bought it in a fashion which is not of course involved, then you have a problem, you know. Then you Yoshi the Rambam in Hilchos Esrik, but you're not Yoshi the Rambam in Hilchos of course involved. Just for your information. So, this is the fact of the story. But now, let's point this, Tos Akum and Mat Yakum. So here, again, we are in the same situation. You see, certainly when we're talking about the case of Tos Akum, Tos Akum is Nehuda. Nobody could argue Tos Akum is also. Tos Akum means if the guy on his own made a mistake and gave him no money. Because this is the classic material of the other, you didn't fool him. There was no transaction on your part, or that there was no promise on your part where you promised him that you're going to give him in lieu or in return for whatever he gave you, that you're going to give him something back. So no question about it. Tos Akum is not. Chil Hashem is the second story. And yes, the Chil Hashem, not only this, the Rav Shonor again said that Tos Akum should not be done. Right? That's what the Rav Shonor said. But Mitzad Adin, Mitzad Ikar Adin, Maisik Nele, Maisik Vele, and Chiva Shove certainly doesn't apply. Mati Akum, there are two sheets. The first sheet in the Remo, and the second sheet in the Remo. The first sheet in the Remo is Mati Akum. Without you giving false information. Now, Mati Akum is very similar to what we just discussed earlier, I understand. Mati Akum, and you are telling me, and you are telling me the truth. No, yes. So, Mate Akum is very similar to the case of Hafkos Halvo, at least. Because in that case, you caused the Goy to make a mistake. And consequently, could be considered to be Vesivos Eliode. In fact, the argument And here you come in here. The argument those who after it say, well, why isn't it gneva das? If I'm mati akum, elochu gneva das gotam is it? The answer to this question would be, right? The answer question would be that. And this is the principle in Hichas Gneva Das. Gneva Das is also wherever the act that you are doing is minatara prohibited. But if the act that you do is minatara permissible, you're just utilizing your own rights. If, for argument's sake, matakum is muta, so what you're doing is just, you're utilizing your rights, meaning to fooling. End of the day. So therefore, there's no Gneva Das. Gneva Das means if you do something that should be prohibited. But if I have rights, then certainly no gives us applies. For example, what would be, if for argument's sake, something that belongs to me is by somebody else, and I have no other way to have it gotten back, unless I'm fooling him. It's never does. Is it prohibited? Certainly it's permissible. Why? Because I'm just utilizing my right to get what I, legally speaking at least, deserve. Now, in this case as well, if you say matakim is muta, so then the din of gneva doesn't apply. Now, is there such a simple argument? I'm not saying. And therefore, those who say that matakim is also, one of the arguments to say matakim is also, is because of gneva das. But Lamait in the Shulchan Aruch in Rumo, there are 2 days. The first day says matakim is muta. The second one says that matakim is also. Only tosakim is muta. Then people call me up with all kinds of shyness. I will tell you, generally speaking, what my answer to this is. Should I tell you? I will tell you. Because this is one of the stories which I like to tell over. Years back, somebody called me up from a particular place. I don't want to tell you where it is. But it's certainly a young man, a young man. So he told me as follows, that he had a water meter where it comes in, he could adjust it a little bit. So whereby, when he does it, so then he will not get the bill. Somebody else is going to get the bill. Which he did. So is it permitted to do so? So I told him, Mendel, what's the matter? Why are you looking at me like this? So that's a good thing. You don't even know? It's Kim Safin Ramarosh. We can do that. Okay, I'll put it away. So, you know what I told him? I told him, young man, I understand your question. If you want to steal, isn't the height, but why do you need to do it with a hechsher? It doesn't have to be with a hechsher. And this is how I rest my case. Thank you very much.
I don't understand the question. This is the Sakim, and the guy puts on the shelf something that's worth $20 and it's really worth $100. It's the same toss.